Jesus, you have told us that in our weakness, you are strong. This is hard to understand. In your kindness, please open our minds to this truth. My precious family, the last week has been more difficult than I can remember. A key helper at a time when they were needed most because of my husband's sickness and my workload. They left for no real reason, with no notice. And I will not say any more except that our hearts were devastated again. They had done this once more, and we forgave and helped them through it because they didn't have another job and lost their home and belongings. Oh, this is a spiritual battle, and our enemies hit the weakest link. Then Ezekiel started having some very serious pain. I pleaded with the doctor for appropriate medication because what he had written was a 2 to 3 hour pain med, but no mercy. No one wants to be audited because they write scripts for pain. And that's what's going on in this town. And the Lord would not allow us to have the tests to diagnose it. Today was the worst day ever, but Ezekiel was witness to a man being snatched from the gates of hell. The Lord told him that someone was dying, and possibly a bone marrow cancer, because he had been feeling that in his own body. Then he was transported to a hospital room where a man who looked oriental was in agony fighting off the demons that were hooking and clawing and dragging him down. Ezekiel asked us all to stop praying for him and pray for the man. I happen to remember a promise that was made to St. Faustina Kowalska by Jesus, that anyone who prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet over a dying soul's agony, he would grant them a final mercy to be saved. As Ezekiel looked on, we put the chaplet on and began praying along with it. The moment Ezekiel touched the chaplet beads, Jesus appeared in the dying man's room, picking him up out of the sulfur cloud and away from the demons. He held him in his arms. Immediately, he passed on, and peace radiated from the man's face. He looked like a child asleep in his father's arms. Jesus assured us that this man had been saved. Wow! We were all a little awestruck by this wonderful revelation, and soon after that, the physical torment that Ezekiel had been suffering stopped. But he was really exhausted, and frankly, I was too. In fact, we were all exhausted from praying against the pain that he was going through for quite some time. So I came to the Lord crying, "Oh Lord, I'm so wrung out, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? I know you and the angels have gathered me up in your arms." I saw that in the spirit. "And I want to move forward. Have you something to say to strengthen me?" The Lord replied, "I have so much to say, 1,000 years could not contain it all, but I will sum it up. Persevere. Claire, when you are at your weakest, I am the strongest in you. I know it does not make logical human sense, but it is so true. My power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me." And that's Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But what I am saying," Jesus continued, "is that the fruit that is gathered when you are at your lowest point is the greatest by far of anything that's been gathered before. Your weakness makes my omnipotence shine. When the enemy curses you and you bear up under it, because it doesn't yield to prayer," that means he's not going to answer it, there's a reason for it, "there is a very good reason." And then I was reminded, "on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Romans 12:1. "Paul knew," Jesus continued, "what I meant long before he was beheaded. He lived a life of continual sacrifice after his conversion, recognizing in that his participation and co-laboring in my cross." And again, the scripture came to mind. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. Jesus continued, was my work on the cross enough? When I uttered, it is finished, I proclaimed it was, for all time, enough. Yet who falls in love and doesn't long to carry a burden for their beloved? Sacrifice of self, giving of self, giving up one's rights to claim healing in order to carry a cross. And again, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said, these were not just figures of speech. No, they were proclamations that if you desire to follow me, you will die to yourself first. Claire, your husband has chosen that, and how blessed he is, and you are, for participating in this cross. So, my precious one, I am encouraging you to continue to bear up under the burden for as long as I choose to use it. He did indeed save a man in the process of dying and being dragged down into the abyss. By his sufferings and all of your prayers, this man is with me now and will be eternally grateful, for truly he was only seconds away from eternal separation from God and damnation. It is a beautiful thing to lay down one's life for one's friends, especially those you have no knowledge of. I know very well how hard this has been on you, as well as the betrayal that left you without help. I know all the details very well, and all I can tell you is that every drop of suffering is changed into transforming grace for souls that visit this channel, and others as well. I will carry you, Claire. I will carry all of you. Don't worry about having the strength to sing or serve me in the many ways you do. Know that my grace is sufficient for you, and never do you suffer anything that I do not make use of it. That is also the difference between Satan's, the father of lies, kingdom, and mind. He loves to cause suffering and to deceive people into following him. They're eager because a bitter root has taken hold of their hearts. They refuse to forgive. They hold on to grudges and long to get even with those who have hurt them and even avoid anyone ever hurting them again. If only they would turn to me, I would give them the grace to forgive. I would shower my love upon them, reveal to them how greatly I love them and how precious they are to me, and raise them to my heart, giving them a new and bright, hopeful life. Satan only came to kill, steal, and destroy. I came to give life abundantly, and nowhere is it more obvious than in the room of a dying soul. Satan would have torn that man to shreds, but my mercy cuddled him like a little child, and he was added to the kingdom. I turn the troubles of my saints into graces that bring conversion and happiness. Satan only uses his people like filthy rags, and when he's done with his dirty business, he burns them in the fire for eternity. Once more, he always loses through sickness when he causes pain. I turn that pain the other way around and steal a soul from him. He always loses. For all of you, my children, nothing the enemy does goes without me turning it into good. The worse he makes others suffer, the greater graces I release to all concerned and those who are still in his clutches. One would think he was helping me, but of course not deliberately. He fails to understand how I will triumph in the end like I always do and turn it all to grace, just like I did on the cross. Get wise, you who follow the father of lies. If he is teaching you to lie to others, what is he doing to you? I will tell you, he is promising you a kingdom of pleasures that does not exist. Unless you get smart and look at his character and turn away from him to me, you will find out when you die that his promises were all lies. There is nothing but torment. gashing and burning flesh in boiling cauldrons where your skin will excruciatingly peel from your body, only to grow back and peel off again and again. He will stand there as you say, "But I served you faithfully. You promised me a reward." And he will laugh you to scorn and disdain, and he'll say, "Yes, I did, and this is your reward." His life is a living hell, and now he entertains himself as you are tormented over and over again by his demons. If you come to me, I will forgive your atrocities. I will deliver you into the kingdom of light and truth, and I will protect you from those who are still under his wicked spell that would harm you. And my people, pray for these Satanists, especially the young ones who've been so terribly hurt by their parents and dealings in the world. The injustice, the cruelties, the betrayals, circumstances that cause them to want to control what happens to them at any price. Pray for them, because deep down inside they've had a glimmer that what they're doing is wrong. They just don't know how to get out. Pray they will find other ex-Satanists, even witnesses on YouTube, to help them cope, and pray that my love showers them clean of all their past dealings with hurtful people. Recently, too, have decided to quit a coven because of your prayers, so do not stop praying. And I know the times are still pretty rough in your country and the world, but a shift has taken place, and many evildoers of the deep state are meeting their end. Pray also for them. But there will be a consequence to all these labors, and America will demonstrate her purpose in the world once again. Yet there is concern, for with prosperity comes a lukewarm spirit. So know that in time things will again grow serious. But when they do, millions of Muslims will have been added to the kingdom because you prayed and endured this turbulent, self-sacrificing time, hand in hand with me. You are my bride. Should I not share my sorrows with you? And indeed I do, as well as sharing yours. Never do I leave your side. So proceed as planned. Cleave to me. Follow my instructions to you. Persevere under trial and pressure to bring forth the work of your mission, which will bear fruit through all eternity. I bless you now, you who are languishing and struggling, and I promise you, the fruit of your labors will be enormous and sweet.